Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to just talk to us a little bit on this thought. Dead men don't. Dead men don't. All right? Turn to somebody and tell them, dead men don't. Amen, amen. Lord, thank you for your word and your promises. I thank you, Jesus, for this church, where you're taking us, where you're leading us. I pray that you would minister and move tonight. I pray, God, that you would let your angels minister in this place. Let your word go forth with authority, with power, God. And I pray that you would do the work in our lives. We give you the praise and all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. Dead men don't. I want you to rest assured tonight, I'm not preaching about the zombie apocalypse. That's not what this sermon is about. Dead men don't. What don't they do? Well, dead men really don't do anything. Dead men don't talk. That sounds like the title of a Western, you know. Dead men don't answer their phone. They don't reply to text, so don't send them one waiting for a response. Dead men don't eat. Dead men don't fight. Dead men don't go shopping. Ever. They don't. They just don't. They certainly don't argue about politics. Now, sometimes dead men vote. I heard Trump's trying to stop that, and I think that's a good thing, actually, you know. Not that they vote, but trying to stop it, you know. In Robert Louis Stevenson's classic Treasure Island, there's a part where Long John Silver, he's planning a mutiny. And in discussing what they should do to those who are loyal to the captain, the comment is made, "Dead men don't bite," which is related to an old Latin phrase, which can also mean dead men tell no tales. Dead men are dead. They don't talk. They don't argue. They don't respond. They're dead. They're dead. The first two verses of our text, Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, say, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Should we go on sinning? God forbid. Absolutely not. We died to sin. And so how can we live in it any longer? If we're dead, not physically, but spiritually, if we're dead to sin, then we are dead to some things. We're dead to our old life. We are dead to who we used to be. We're dead to some things that we used to do. That old way of living, we are dead to that. We don't live that way any longer. The problem is, too many haven't died. Not really. If we're dead, if we're really dead, then why would we act alive to sin? I absolutely love the Bible plan of salvation. How awesome that this way that God has designed for us to be saved, and how he came to this earth. He took on the robe of flesh. He became like us. And in his death, burial, and resurrection, it points the way for us to have eternal life. As pastor, I want to tell you, I absolutely love baptizing people in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, I love baptizing someone in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, I want you to tell me soon. We got to do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. The water's ready. It's 86 degrees or something like that. It'd be nice to get baptized tonight. Praise the Lord. It's one of the most exciting things also to ever pray with someone as they receive the gift of the Holy Ghost for the first time with the evidence of speaking in tongues like it happened in the New Testament church. I want to tell you, if you've never had that experience, it's awesome. Amen. You need the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Being baptized and receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost, they are incredibly wonderful experiences. But let's not forget tonight about repentance. In fact, perhaps we rush past repentance too quickly. And as a pastor, I feel that maybe I've been guilty of this at times, because I don't want people, you know, to get hung up on repentance, and I'm ready for them to get baptized and to receive the Holy Ghost. But what if we don't truly die? We don't want to be buried alive. When we're buried in baptism, we want to be truly dead. The old man passed away. Maybe the reason why some Christians have so much trouble living for God is that they never really died. They never really passed away. That old man is still alive. That old man is still working. That old man is still in control. And they're trying to live for God, but there was never a point where they said, you know what? No more. I'm not living this way anymore. I'm not doing these things anymore. My life is about to change because I can't live this way any longer. This is not for me. I've got to live for Jesus. I've got to have a transformation in my life. Oh, I tell you, people that are trying to keep the old man alive and they've never really surrendered to God, and they keep holding on to everything they used to be and all the stuff they used to do, and they weren't willing to do whatever it takes to live for God. Oh, there may have been a burial, but they were buried alive because they were refusing to die. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. In John 19 and 30 it says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Those were his final words. It is finished. When Jesus died, it may have seemed to those who were gathered there that he died in defeat. But I want to tell you, no, he died in victory. He died in victory. He had finished what he came to do. Praise the Lord. All of the prophecies about the Lamb of God, they were finished. All the sacrifices and all the ceremonies, they were finished. The power of Satan and sin and death were finished. He did not hang his head in defeat, but he bowed it in peace, knowing that what he had accomplished and knowing that he had given his life willingly, it is finished. It is finished. The greatest proclamation that has ever been made, it is finished. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to tell you, there's some things in our life that have got to be finished. There's some things in our life that have got to be finished. Yeah, that music I used to listen to, it's finished. Come on, those shows I used to watch, yeah, they're finished. A child of God can't live right and do those things anymore. I can't go those places I used to go. I can't put those things in my body I used to put in my body. It's finished. It's finished. There's got to be some things that are finished in our life. Oh, Paul, when were you crucified? When did you die? You look pretty alive to me. Paul was happy to answer. He was happy to answer and say, I have been crucified with Christ. When Jesus was on the cross, he died in my place. It was like I was on the cross. He died, and we can die too. Our old life of sin, it can now be dead, but we've got to go to the cross too. And we've got to lay down our life. Come on, there needs to be true repentance in our lives for us, in order for us to truly die. What is repentance? It is facing our sin, and it's making a sincere decision to turn away from it. We recognize the fact that we have sinned. We've broken God's laws. And we feel genuinely sorry for it. We confess it to God. And then we leave sin and we choose a new direction. By faith, we choose a new direction in Jesus Christ. Repentance is more than just feeling sorry that we got caught. It's more than just kind of feeling bad for some of the stuff we've done. It's a change of heart that leads to a change of direction. A lot of times people feel bad. They come to church and they kind of feel a little conviction and, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. But they go and they go back out the same direction, doing the same things, living the same way. That's not repentance. Repentance is a change of heart that leads us in a new direction. As we turn away from sin and we follow the Lord, amen, amen. We've got to feel genuinely sorry for it. If sometimes people look at their life and they maybe realize they've sinned, but they're not sorry for it and they're not ready to leave it, they need to pray and say, God, get a hold of me because something in my heart isn't right. There's something about me, Lord, that you've got to change. You've got to work in me. You've got to move in me, Lord. Don't let me live like this. Don't let me stay this way. But I've got to feel genuinely sorry for this, and I've got to go in a different direction. Isaiah 55 and 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Aren't you thankful for that? Hallelujah. Why is it that so many have such a hard time living for God? Because they never forsook their old ways. They never left the old way of doing things, the old way of thinking. They never left it behind. I want to tell you, repentance is a new direction. Praise the Lord. It's turning from our way to God's way. We can't walk in God's way unless we forsake our way. Oh, yeah. Sometimes it's it'll be the hardest thing that you've ever done. But when we do, when we turn away from sin, when we follow after God, God will have mercy on us. He will abundantly pardon us. He will set us free. He will not reject us. He'll not ignore us, but he receives us. He forgives us and makes us new. Oh, I'm thankful today. Has anybody found out the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ? That he sets you free, that he made you new, that he delivered you and gave you a new life. Praise the Lord. When there's truly a death of the old man through repentance, and when that old life is buried in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, when there's a resurrection in our life by being filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, we are a new creature. We're a new creature. We read it early in Romans 6 and 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Praise the Lord. Come on, if sin is still alive in our life, if sin is still in control, if we're still bound by sin, then we've got to find a cross and we've got to say, Lord, I can't live any longer. I got to be crucified with you. He that is dead is freed from sin. Praise the Lord. Amen. Dead men don't. Dead men don't. Respond. Dead men don't respond. Brother Colt, I won't do it to you, but if I had you come up here and lay down, be a dead man, I could come up and I could kick you as hard as I could. And you wouldn't do nothing because you'd be dead. Thing is, you wouldn't be dead and you would do something, so. You can't tempt a corpse with anything. Money, fame, pleasure, there's no response. Why? Because that corpse is dead. The problem is, the problem with sin in our life, it's not that sin is too strong. No, it's that, we forgot we're supposed to be dead. We got to stop playing around with what we're supposed to be dead to. People want to play around with stuff. They want to fiddle with things. They want to, I'll allow a little bit of this in my life. And we're supposed to be dead. Sin may knock. Old habits may call. Our past may try to hang on. But dead men don't respond. If we're responding to the things of sin, we may not be as dead as we thought we were. And we need to get back to the foot of the cross. We need to pray until we can wholeheartedly tell the Lord, Lord, let this old man pass away. Change me, Jesus. Make me more like you. Don't let me stay this way anymore. Take away the old desires. Give me new desires, Lord. I've got to be saved. Lord, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost, but get a hold of my life, Jesus. Hallelujah. Dead men don't respond. They don't answer the phone. They don't text back. They don't complain. They don't argue. They're dead. Not responding to every situation. Sometimes we've got to just not respond. Has anybody ever had the opportunity to use the part of the armor that talks about the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy? If you've ever had the opportunity to use the shield of faith, then you know what a fiery dart is. It's something that gets you and it sets you on fire. See that post on Facebook? Who did they think that? I'm gonna tell them a thing or two. Sister McCoy has, she's like, honey, I just, oh, no, honey, no. I've had an opportunity to this last week or two on a couple of things. I'm like, you know what? I've had enough. And I'm like, nope. Dead men don't respond. Dead men don't get in battles that are not mine to fight. Now, when it is my battle to fight, the Lord gives us strength and wisdom. But sometimes you just got to say, you know what? I'm not going to respond to every situation. I'll pray about it. I'll take it to the Lord. If God wants me to do something, he can show me what to do. If God gives me the words to speak, I'll speak it. But this might just be something that it's an opportunity for me to pray through about a little bit. Hallelujah. Not getting our feelings hurt. Brother Colt, if he's up here and I'm kicking him, but he's dead, it doesn't hurt. He's dead. I can't get a rise out of him. He's dead. If we find ourselves getting our feelings hurt and offended about a lot of stuff and thinking, well, we've just been mistreated and you know, all of this, and I'm not saying you haven't been mistreated. But it's just that we may not be as dead as we thought we were. If we find ourselves always carrying our feelings on our shoulder and always being hurt and offended, it's time to go back to the altar. It's time to get back to prayer. It's time to get back to humbling ourselves and saying, Lord, I've got to die out. My flesh is too alive. Come on, my flesh is, it's too strong. I've got to humble myself, Lord. I've got to die out. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Dead men don't respond. And think about this. Dead men don't eat. Dead men don't eat. DoorDash doesn't make a lot of runs to the cemetery. Because dead men don't eat. What we feed will grow. If our old man is dead, if the old way of sin has passed away, we're not feeding it anymore. But if we're feeding something, it's not dead. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's sometimes I've got to say, you know what? I'm not even going to hang out with that crowd, because something about that feeds my flesh, and I'm not wanting to go the direction that crowd's going. So I'm not even going to make provision to feed this flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. There's some things I'm not going to watch, because it's not that I'm backslid. No, I'm trying to live right. But there's some things about what's shown on that movie and what's shown in that TV show that it could feed my flesh. And then my flesh starts getting stronger, and then it awakens something within me that I know I don't want to go that direction. That's why, young people, it's so important to keep yourself and say, you know what, there's some people I'm not going to hang out with. There's some places I'm not going to go. There's some things I'm not going to do. I'm going to draw some guard. I'm going to have some guardrails, because I'm not trying to awaken the desires of my flesh so I fulfill the lust thereof. If we find ourselves feeding it, that means it's alive. If we like certain things and it's kind of borderline, there's something there we've got to be careful about. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. This world doesn't want to talk about denial. And no, what this world says, hey, just do whatever you want to do. Satisfy your flesh. Please your flesh. If you feel like it, just go ahead and do it. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus said, if you want to come after me, you've got to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, it's a privilege to live for Jesus. It's a privilege to live for God. What a blessing. What a blessing to be called by Him. What a blessing to be allowed to have this precious truth. Oh, I'm so thankful I've been baptized in His name. I'm thankful that I've been filled with the Spirit. I'm thankful that His anointing is upon us and that His blessings flow. But Brother Sean, sometimes it may be that I'm carrying a cross. It may be that there's some things I have to go through for the gospel's sake. It may be that I have to have some persecution along the way. There may be some hard times because I chose to live for God. But I want to tell you what, it's just part of living for God. Jesus carried a cross. Jesus had to die. And sometimes God says, I'm gonna allow you to go through some things because you're going to learn to die out to sin. But when you die out to sin, that gives the opportunity for the Spirit of God to flow through you. Come on today. Somebody needs to realize there's a blessing in dying. There is a privilege in dying. When we allow this old man to die away, Jesus Christ fills us and makes us new. Praise the Lord. Dead men don't follow old masters. Our old man is crucified. Before Christ, we lived in sin. We were bound by old habits. We were defined by our past. But that old person died. So why do we want to go back and visit that grave? Why revisit the old addictions? Why replay old ways of thinking? Why reconnect with the destructive patterns of the past? Romans 6 and 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye yourselves as members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Before Christ, we were dominated by sin. Sin was our master. We just did whatever it told us to do. I can remember working for the company was United Van Lines, but it was Uni Group, I guess, in St. Louis area. And During the summertime while I was in college, I would work at this location. They were very busy with a lot of moving during the summertime, so they needed extra help. Once every hour, 2 hours, whatever it was, all of a sudden the whole place would clear out because everybody had to go get their smoke break. What was going on there? They were serving their master. That little cigarette told them when they had to go smoke it. Now, I think some people were probably abusing the cigarette breaks and, you know. What is it about alcohol? If they haven't had it in a little while, alcohol speaks up and says, hey, it's about time. Go get you a drink. What is it about pornography? It's a master. Whatever addiction it might be, it's the master. Before Christ, we serve sin, but now we have a new master. We have a new Lord. Oh, he's given us a new identity. He's given us new authority. We don't belong to sin anymore. Thank you, Jesus. Dead men don't serve old masters. A slave who has died is no longer bound to his master's demands. We need to stop obeying a master who no longer owns us. That old man has died. When that old master speaks up and says, hey, I want you to, no, I don't belong to you anymore. I'm dead to you. My old man has passed away. I've got a new master. I've got a new Savior. I've got a new Lord. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. It's a joy to live for Jesus. It's a pleasure to live for God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Dead men don't produce the same fruit. When something dies, it stops producing. If our old life is truly dead, our language should change. We talked a little bit about it in our new converts class on Sunday about people that, before they came to the Lord, their language was pretty rough. Something happened when they received the Holy Ghost. Started producing new fruit. Our desires should shift. Our habits should transform. It's not just that we've been improved. No, we've been made new. Our old life has been replaced. And some of you can look back at your old life and you're like, I don't even know who that person was. Because you're not that person anymore. Something has changed. Something's been transformed. It was another life. It was a life that passed away. But now God's given you a new life. He's made you new. You're a new creation. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Folks, here's the point. Dead men don't. So why should we? Dead men don't, so why should we? I believe tonight the challenge facing all of us is that temptation to go back to the grave and become a grave robber and say, I'm going to dig up what I used to be. I'm going to resurrect something that died. Maybe it didn't die, but it just buried alive. And you're like, I'm going to uncover that. No. Dead men live a new life through Jesus Christ. Romans 6 and 8, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And here's the paradox of the gospel. Dead men actually live. It's not the same life. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. We've been given a new life with new purpose, with new power, with new direction. We didn't just die, but now we've been raised to life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. So let me ask you the question today. What are we still responding to? What are we still feeding? What graveyard do we keep going back to? What old master are we still obeying? What old fruit are we still producing? Because dead men don't. Dead men don't. They don't respond to sin. They don't let the flesh control them. They don't go back to the ways of the past. They don't listen to what used to order them around. Dead men don't. And if we're in Christ, neither should we. Would you stand with me in closing tonight? Praise the Lord. Tonight is the night for us to die to those things that have been controlling us. It's time to bury what Jesus Christ has already died for. He was crucified on the cross to set us free from that. It's time to walk in the life that God has already purchased for us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If it's breathing, it's still alive. If it's hungry, it's still alive. Every one of us has things that try to creep back in. Things from the past. Sometimes people go find new habits. A lot of times it's things from the past. I've noticed this. A lot of times people, when they backslide, the first thing they pick up was the last thing they laid down when they came into the church. You know, God started working, cleaning up their life, and then there was that one thing that finally they surrendered to the Lord and they gave it up, whatever it was. And when they start struggling and backsliding, that last thing that they gave up, a lot of times that's the first thing they pick up. They went and dug something up that should have been buried, should have stayed dead. Praise the Lord. Come on, would you let the Lord search our hearts right now? Jesus, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh God, I pray that you'd reveal anything of sin in us. I pray, God, that you would reveal anything of our flesh that has taken control in our life. I pray that you would show us, God, if there's anything from our past that we've allowed to be dug up, Lord, to come alive. If there's anything that used to control us, Lord, that you died to set us free from, but Lord, that control is coming back. I pray that you would show us it right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lord, if I've been carrying my feelings on my sleeve and I've been allowing things to get to me like they shouldn't, Lord, I pray that you'd help me to get back to the altar, and I've got to die out to you. Not my will, but your will done. Be done. Lord, I need you. I need you. I'm nothing without you. I need your presence. I need your help, Lord. I can't make it without you. I need you to work in me.
I need you to help me, Lord. I don't want there to be anything in my life that you're not pleased with. God, if there's any, come on, somebody needs to find a place of prayer right now. I believe God's reaching for some people. This was not by accident, but you're going through some things, and there's some things that should be dead that they're trying to come back alive. And come on, you need to put it, you need to put it under the blood again. You need to say, Jesus, forgive me, Lord. Cleanse my heart. Get a hold of my mind. Get a hold of my attitude. Oh, God, oh, God. I've been tempted to pick up something that I laid down a long time ago, Lord. I pray that you'd help me right now. Oh, God, I got to put it back under the blood. I've got to get back to an altar right now. I've got to die out to sin. Oh, Jesus, don't let me leave here the same way I came tonight. But, Lord, there's got to be a funeral in this house. There's got to be some things that die here in this place. Oh, I don't want it to live any longer. Oh, God, get a hold of me right now in Jesus' name.